Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And started off, I was just going to preach one message on this, and then the more that I studied, the more that saw more here and was just encouraged by some of the thoughts and the passages and being strong in the Lord. And it's turned into somewhat of a little series here as we consider being strong in the Lord. That's what the apostle tells us, that we are to be strong in the Lord. And we've defined what that is and how God would have us to be strong and how our strength is not in ourselves and it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even our strength, the strength of Christ is made perfect in our own weakness. So it's not a physical strength that you have. And sometimes when we're weakest is whenever the Lord reveals His strength to us and we are strong in the Lord in our weakness. I saw a video this week of a man and a woman in an altercation in the subway. I don't know what city it was in, but some city, and they're in an altercation. I don't know how it started. I don't know what it was about, but just a real small little woman and this pretty big man were arguing back and forth, and he punched her in the face and just knocked her down on the ground. And if that wasn't bad enough, the man, whom I presume to be with the lady, because they were standing there together while this happened, he just dropped his head. He was holding something there in his hand. He just dropped his head as that man continued to yell at this woman. Didn't say anything to the man. And then on the other side of the woman was a guy, had his cell phone, and looked like he was texting or looking at something, scrolling down on his phone, pretending like he didn't see the whole thing. Then you had a whole subway car full of other men who just sat there and watched as this man punched this lady in the face. And no one said anything to him. No one stopped him. No one knocked him down on the ground. They just stood there. And the whole subway car full of men, and they just sat there and watched. Well, I started looking through where I saw the video, and I was looking at some of the things that people were saying about it, and they were saying, "Well, I wouldn't have done anything either. Who knows what kind of trouble you would have got into if you would have tried to do something, or somebody else. Well, it's too dangerous to get into other people's problems in the city like that." And that was sort of the common view, that's what they should have done. Just everybody just should have minded their own business and let that go on. I was telling my boys about it, and I told them that I'd better never hear of them watching a woman get assaulted in public, and then they film it or just watch it and don't do anything. That would be a terrible thing for a man to do, is just to watch a woman get assaulted and do nothing about it. Well, why is that? Well, because the woman is the weaker vessel. That's what the Bible says. That she is the weaker vessel, and the man is the stronger vessel, and the man is supposed to live with that knowledge. He is supposed to protect the woman. And so, if that guy was, I also told him, I said, if that was that woman's husband or boyfriend, he probably won't be for very much longer, just standing there and letting her get assaulted like that. Why is that? Because he should have used his strength to protect the weak. He should have been strong for her, and maybe he would have got beat up too. Maybe he would have got beat up a lot worse than she did, but at least he could have thrown himself in the way to protect. And the reason I say this is, what's the point of having strength if you only have it for yourself? And that was sort of the consensus view of what people were saying, is you need to protect yourself. Well, what's the point of having strength if you have it all for yourself? Now, certainly, as we've looked at being strong in the Lord, we've seen how we are to be strong in our spiritual battles, in our spiritual walk. And there is the sense and the truth that you are to be strong in the Lord for yourself. You are to be strong in the Lord as you battle against sin and battle against temptation, because you are responsible for yourself and responsible to live according to God, and you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to how you live. So there is a sense that we are to be strong for ourselves, but we are also to be strong for others. Now, physically, God gave man physical strength to use and not to use selfishly. So I know we're not talking about physical strength, but physically, God gave man physical strength to use it and not to use it selfishly. Why did God give men strength? To work, to provide for his family, to protect his family, to protect his nation, to protect his community. There's a reason why God made men strong, and there's a reason why men have testosterone, and there's a reason why men are geared towards strength and fighting and those types of things. So that's what God made men to do. And so, but not to use it selfishly, not to use it for self, but to use it for others. And I believe the same thing for spiritual strength, that you have to be strong. But you have to be strong to battle against Satan, but you also need to be strong for others and to be strong with others. And so this is a spiritual strength that I'm talking about. And so you and I need to be strong for other people and with other people, that we're not to use the strength that the Lord gives us just for ourselves, but that we are to use it to be strong with others, because the Lord would have us to be together. The Lord would have us to be a body. That's what the Lord's church is the body of Christ. And we'd be strong with others and for others. So the first thing we want to look at tonight is with David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23. We think of David, and we think of his strength with Goliath, and we think of his strength in battling the Philistines. We think of his strength in fighting the enemies of God. But here we have an instance where David wasn't that strong. We have an instance here in verse 15 where David was on the run. He was in a weakened position, likely anxious and scared because Saul was trying to kill him. It says, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. So his father-in-law is trying to kill him. The king's trying to kill him. He had to run for his life. He's hiding out in the woods. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. So here's David in a weakened position. Spiritually, he was in a weakened position. He was afraid. He didn't know what to do. He had the promise of God that he would be king. But Saul had lost his mind and is on a tear. And who knows, you know, we read this and we say it, but just put yourself in David's mind that somebody's trying to kill you. Like literally has a gun and looking for you, driving around Clay looking for you. He's going to shoot you. And you're hiding up in the woods because somebody's going to come because they're looking for you to murder you. So that's the state of mind David was in. And what's Jonathan do? Jonathan leaves his dad and comes and finds him. And he strengthens his hand in God. So what does Jonathan do? He goes to him in his weaknesses and encourages him in the truth. I think he reminded him of God's promises, because we see that he told him, you're going to be king. He reminded him that God had made a promise to him, that God had made a covenant with him, and not to fear what man will do unto him, but trust and look to God. So here you have somebody who is weak at this moment in time. And a friend comes along and points him to God. His friend comes along and encourages him to look to the Lord and strengthens his hand in God. He doesn't leave him there in his fear. He doesn't leave him there in his weakness. But he comes and lifts him up and helps him up and encourages him to seek the Lord and not to fear God, that God would fail him. Many times our weaknesses and our fears come from not remembering that God will not fail His promises. And so our encouragement and our strength comes from remembering that truth, that God will not fail us, that God will not fail His promise. So Jonathan here was the strong one. And Jonathan had strength. And Jonathan sees his brother, he sees a brother down. And he sees him discouraged and having a fainting fit. And here comes Jonathan in his strength, and he gives him his hand, and he lifts him up and strengthens his hand in God, reminding him to look to the Lord. We should use our strength that God gives us to encourage those who are weak, to point others to the true strength that we have in the Lord, to remind our brothers and sisters who are discouraged of the promises of God, to help those who get tired to look to the Lord for their strength, and those who are weak to remember that the Lord does not fail His promises, and to those who are forgetful to remind them of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Because we can forget. We can forget what the Lord has told us. David had all kinds of stuff going on in his mind at this time, but he needed to be reminded who God was, what God had promised him, and what God was going to do for him. And so it took a strong man to come and to help him up. Now, David was normally the strong man. And something else that we can learn from this, that sometimes the strong man stumbles. Sometimes the strong man trips up and falls. And sometimes he needs help. And sometimes a strong Christian needs reminded that God is their strength. And so we need to be strong for other people. Like Jonathan was strong for his friend David. We need to be strong as a church in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. So the Lord has called us here tonight to be strong as a body together, and not just be strong individuals, but strong together. So in verse number 11, Ephesians chapter 4, says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, making increase in the body into the edifying of itself in love. So this is a metaphor, an extended metaphor that Paul gives about the body of Christ. And he said, so there's pastors and teachers, all kinds of different offices there in the church that the Lord had given to edify the body, or to build up the body, to strengthen the body. So we're not to be children anymore. As a church, we're not to be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We went to, when we lived in Georgia, we went to the beach one time, and the wind was blowing, and it was, it's hard to say how hard the wind was blowing, and Jacob was leaning into the wind, and it was blowing so hard that he was having a hard time walking forward. And, you know, he was little at the time, of course, but it was kind of funny that the wind was almost as strong as he was, and he was just fighting it, trying to walk ahead. Well, that's sort of the metaphor we have, that the children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That we're not to be so weak that the wind will knock us over, And every wind of doctrine that comes along, every little, slight little thing that somebody on the news says or somebody online says, that we are so weak that we just get carried along with it and just go with the flow, or to change the metaphor, just to float down the stream and just be carried about whichever direction the water's flowing. No, we are to be strong. And it's talking about being to growing up together, though, but the strength metaphor fits that compared to the child, that the whole body is joined together with the effectual working or the powerful working of God in the measure of every part. So every part of the body is getting stronger by the effectual power of God and increasing the body unto building up itself in love. And so each member becomes stronger of themselves in order that we might make one another stronger and that we all grow up together. That we're all getting strong. We're always getting stronger. And you get a little bit weaker, well, you have somebody else to help you up. And the stronger the church becomes, then whenever someone falls, the quicker and the more resources there are to pick somebody up. So, you know, if you hurt, I know when I had my knee surgery, I was favoring the other side. And what happens when you do that is your body starts trying to help the other hurting member. And so you lean funny and your body shifts funny to relieve the pain of the thing that's hurting. But whenever a part of the body is hurting, like the whole body reacts physically. The whole body goes to try to help the part that's hurting. Well, we need to be strong for one another, to help one another, edify one another. So it's every member. Every member of the body of Christ should be getting strong with the idea of being able to help one another. So if we turn back a couple pages to Galatians 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, the church, whenever somebody is overtaken in a fault, we should do everything we can to help the weak brother to restore one. Now, there's only so much you can do, and you try, but that's why we use our strength. Is somebody falls down, you don't just keep marching along. We don't just keep, you know, just ignore and stop praying and stop trying to help one another. But we bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We carry one another's burdens. Ideally, the ideal way is verse number 5, every man shall bear his own burden. That's what it says there. Every man shall bear his own burden. But sometimes the burden gets too heavy to bear by yourself. Sometimes the weight and the sufferings of this life are just too much. Or sometimes we get weak, and it was just one burden too many, and it causes us to stumble. On a good day, one burden, you're fine, you can carry that burden. But on a bad day, and then you get 5 or 6 burdens on top of you, sometimes it knocks us down. Well, we need strong brothers and sisters in the church that can bear the burden, that can stop, that can slow down, and can go and say, let me carry that for you for a while. Let me help you with that for a while until you regain your strength. Let me come alongside and let you know that you're not going to be left aside, but let me help you bear that burden. See, that's using our strength for others. That's using our strength to help other people along. That's using our strength to look out for one another and to protect one another and to help others in their hardships. So we're strong with one another. We're strong for one another. And let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. That's what it means. That's what the word Deuteronomy means. That God gave Moses the law the first time, and then that generation he gave it to died out in the wilderness. And so now Moses is going to give the law to Israel a second time to these people who were born in the wilderness, this next generation. And Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. And so he's charging Joshua, because Joshua is going to lead the people into the promised land. So that's what we have in chapter 31, verse 23. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." So Joshua, the Lord and Joshua, that's how we started the series. We looked a lot at Joshua, where the Lord told Joshua not to be afraid and be strong and be of good courage because God was with him. Well, notice what Moses says. Be strong and of good courage because you need to bring the children of Israel into the land. So Joshua had to be strong in himself because Joshua had a job to do. Joshua had to lead the children. So on the one hand, Joshua had to be strong for himself because he had a job that he had to stand for the Lord. He had to stand and do and obey what the Lord would have him to do. But Moses says, you need to be strong because you have a job to do. You have to lead these people. There are young people here who don't know the truth, Joshua. You need to be strong for them. Joshua, there are weak people who are going to not want to fight the Canaanites. You need to be strong and lead them into this and the work of the Lord. Joshua, there are fearful believers who will want to quit halfway through. You need to be strong. There are faithless men and women who will forget the promises of God. Joshua, you need to be strong and bring the children of Israel into the land. You and I must be strong for others. Now, you may be strong in the doctrines of grace, and that is wonderful. You may be strong in the church truth. That is wonderful, but we have many young believers in this church, many young Baptists in this church, and we need to be strong for them. We need to be strong for those who might not know the promises of God as we know the promises of God, or be strong for believers who are easily discouraged, or be strong for fearful who just want to quit, or be strong for those who forget the promises of God. Joshua had to be strong for himself, but he had to do that so he could be strong for other people. To be strong for those who aren't strong yet, who are still yet weak in the faith. We need to be strong for other people. All of Israel had to go into the promised land. They all had to go and fight. Even the tribes that took their inheritance outside of the promised land still had to go in and fight. God promised the inheritance for the people. But Joshua had to be strong for those who might want to stop short, who might want to just give up halfway through. We find the same in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, where it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men." So he tells the church there to both warn and be patient and so forth, but comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. It was written to a church, and so there was church members there who were feeble-minded, that they were weak, that they didn't have the spiritual strength that others had. And part of the duty of the church was for those who were strong to go by and give a helping hand to those who were weak, to be a resting place, to be a support, to be like Jonathan and strengthen them in the Lord. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and even God with recompense, and he will come and save you. Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. And the author of Hebrews quotes that same verse. But then verse 4, say to them to their fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Be strong for others, to help others in their strength. We know that Paul told us that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak in Romans 15. Also in Romans 14, talks about him that is weak of the faith receive thee. So we have to be strong for others. Now, I started this point with Joshua at the end of Deuteronomy, where Moses said, Joshua, you got to be strong for other people. And then right before they go in, the Lord says, Joshua, you got to be strong. You got to be strong yourself. You have to be strong in your obedience to the Lord. And we'll look at that in just a second. But Moses said, Joshua, you got to be strong for these other people. But let's look at chapter 3 of Deuteronomy and see how this whole thing got started. So I told you that Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. And this is from that hymn from Mount Pisgah's Lofty Heights, Deuteronomy 3:27. It says, get thee up in the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Moses doesn't get to go to the promised land. And you read the first couple chapters of Deuteronomy, and I don't think Moses was too happy about it. Moses was with these rebellious people for a long time. And yes, Moses sinned, but he longed to be in the promised land. And I think the Lord takes him up to the top of this mountain to encourage him. Moses doesn't get to go in, but he gets to see it. His eyes get to behold the fulfillment of the promises that he lived his whole life for. And he gets to go and he gets to see that his work was not in vain. That all the things that Moses did, all the trials and the wilderness wanderings and listening to the people murmur and complain. And as he led them through the wilderness, those 40 years, led them out of Egypt first and then led them through the wilderness. And now he gets to the end and he doesn't get to go in, but the Lord took him up and said, I'm going to fulfill my promise. I'm going to get these people that you've led into the promised land. He shows him all the promised land and shows him that God is true to his word. And encourages Moses, as Moses now has to go back and tell the people the law again. And to tell them how to live. And he has to continue to lead the people in his final days. And then God says, now, what I want you to do is I want you to go and strengthen Joshua. I want you to go down there and encourage Joshua. Because you know how stubborn these people are. And you know what it's like to lead these people. But you know what I'm like. And you know I've never failed you. And I've never led you astray. And I've been with you the whole time. You need to go encourage Joshua. And strengthen him. Because he's going to do the work. And I'm going to be faithful to him. So encourage him. So God strengthened Moses. So he could go strengthen Joshua. So Joshua could be strengthened. And he could go be strong for the children of Israel. You know, it's is God's people helping one another, being strong for one another. That Joshua was strong because Moses encouraged him, and Moses was strong because God encouraged him, and the people of Israel were strong because Joshua encouraged them. And it's a building up of one another that we see here, that the people are strong in the Lord and encourage one another in their walk. And so then we get over to Joshua chapter number 1. And so Joshua has been encouraged and strengthened, and the Lord is now going to encourage him. In verse number 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever so thou goest." God is our strength. And He strengthens us as we obey His will. But we need to be strong for the work of the Lord. God doesn't need us, does He? God doesn't need any of us. God doesn't need us to fight His battles. He doesn't need us for anything. But God has ordained the weak to fight the battles of the Lord, that the Lord may be glorified. So when Joshua leads the people to Jericho, you have this big fortified city with a wall all the way around it, and God tells the people to go march around that wall, which is really kind of a silly thing when you think about it. They're going to go fight, and they're just going to go, not going to say anything, they're not going to do anything, they're just going to march around the wall. And then the next day, they're going to do the same thing. And just walk around the wall, and that's it. They're going to do it the next day, and then the next day, and they're going to keep doing it until the Lord says, "Okay, now," with the shout. And what the Lord was doing, before the Lord knocked down the walls, He was showing the strength of Israel, which wasn't very much. And they're showing that all the power and all the faith and all the hope was in the Lord, that the Lord was their strength. The Lord was showing Joshua and the people that He doesn't need them to fight the battles, but He's still going to use them to fight the battles. God doesn't need us to fight the battles, but He's going to use us to fight the battles. God saves people. We don't save people, but God uses us to go and to preach the gospel to people. He has ordained the weak things that He might receive all the glory. God could have an angel come and preach to us every Sunday, and the angel would do a lot better job preaching than I would, most certainly. But God didn't ordain that angels come and speak with glorious language and shining light. He ordained that weak men lift up the word, that no flesh would be glory, would have glory in His presence. The Lord didn't save all the wise and the strong and the powerful and the rich and the famous. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For your calling, brethren, how not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God hath chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." The Lord has called weak things and strengthens them to do the work, His work, that He would be glorified in that. Again, God could do all however He wants to, but this is the way He's ordained to do it. And so He tells fearful Joshua, "You got to be strong, Joshua, and have faith, and do as I tell you, and don't go from the left to the right, because I'm going to use you. And you might not have the strength to do it, but I will give you the strength to do it. You just trust me, and you be strong in the word, and be strong in faith, and follow me, and I will win the battles." So we need to be strong in obedience. Be strong to do what the Lord has called us, and not to waver. Be strong to do God's work. and not get discouraged, and not get downhearted, and not say, just not get discouraged in the work of the Lord, and just keep going, and just keep pressing on. And we need to, think about, we've got four young church members here, and Emma, we just baptized her, and we think of all the young children that are coming here, and we think, we pray for them, and not get discouraged. And say, what a great work that the Lord has put us in, and what a great blessing the Lord has given us, and to press on, and keep on in the work of the Lord, and be strong in the faith, and be strong, and be encouraged in what the Lord does, and press on. And trust in the Lord. David did the same thing. When he was dying, he told Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:9, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth and all the imaginations and thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Joshua followed Moses, and Solomon followed David. Two of the great men of history, Moses and David. And Joshua has to come in and follow him, and Solomon has to come in and follow David. It's like... that's always the worst job anybody's got to have in the NFL, if there is a bad job in the NFL, I guess, is the quarterback that follows the Hall of Famer. So you got a Hall of Fame quarterback that everybody in the city loves. He's the hero, and he retires, and then the next guy comes. So the next guy might be pretty good, but he's not going to be that first guy. And Joshua may be pretty good, but he's not going to be Moses. And Solomon might be pretty good, but he's not going to be David. That sort of thing. But God called these men to follow after and complete the work that they couldn't. So they had to stay strong. They couldn't get discouraged and give up and say, well, they're never going to love me like they love Moses, or they're never going to follow me like they followed David. Well, Joshua had to be Joshua, and Solomon had to be Solomon. They just had to be strong and obey and not give in but press on. Strength to obey against the desires of the flesh and spiritual powers when it seems hopeless, when the way is long and discouraging. David said, be strong and do it. Just be strong and follow after the Lord. He was telling him, he was guiding him on how he needs to live his life. We need to have the strength to obey and follow whenever others may forsake. There was a time where nobody stood with Paul, and he's all by himself, but he said, the Lord was with me in 2 Timothy 4. There's been many a person who's gone to preach, and the church building was empty. I read of one man over in England one time that, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures or ever been in a church where they have the gates on the pews where you have to open the door to go inside the pew. Well, they went in and locked all the pews so nobody could go in and sit down because they didn't want him to be there anymore. And so they were doing everything they could to discourage him and to keep him from preaching. And the man was just faithful and just kept on doing the work of the Lord, faithful as best he could be. And we have to be faithful in opposition. We have to be faithful even if our friends aren't, or even if we're standing alone, because the Lord is with us. And my last point here is we have to be strong in the fight for our righteousness. So one more text from Deuteronomy, and then we'll wrap this up. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Verse number 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be ye afraid because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now, anytime the Lord's people are revived, anytime there are great blessings in the Lord's church, there's a mighty, mighty enemy that comes against us. Anytime the Lord saves people in the church, anytime people are added to the church, there is a great enemy who hates the Lord Jesus Christ and hates the Lord's church and will do anything and everything to discourage the work and to stop the work. We have a mighty foe. Satan is a mighty, mighty enemy. Well, just like the people of God, where they're told, and you go out to battle, and you look out on all these enemies, and they outnumber you 10-1. And they've got horses and chariots and weapons, and here you are with your little sword and your little shield, and that's all you've got. When you are surrounded by the great enemy, and you come nigh to battle, notice there's no question of running away. He doesn't say when you run away. It was when you come nigh to battle, you just keep going to battle. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be faint. Don't tremble. Because the Lord goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. When we see the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world against the Lord's people and against the Lord's church, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid with those who have great strength in the world. Don't let your hearts be faint. Don't fear, don't tremble. For God will fight for you. Don't look at the enemy and be afraid, but look to God and be strengthened. We have the Almighty One with us on our side. There are legions of demonic forces that are beyond the might of the strongest man. But you and I here together tonight, as in the Lord's body, have the strength of the Lord. And we don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to be worried, and we don't have to be troubled as the Lord's body, for the Lord fights our battles for us. He will strengthen us. He will protect us as long as we stay with Him. As long as we don't give up the fight. As long as we don't go to the left or to the right. Like the Lord told Joshua, as long as the Lord's church holds to Him and lifts Christ up and holds to His doctrine and holds to the truth and don't be swayed to the left or to the right by every wind of doctrine, but are strong in Him, then the Lord will fight our battles and we have nothing to fear. No force outside can defeat the captain of Israel, the sword of the Lord, the mighty Lord, our God, Jesus Christ. We fight against spiritual powers, not flesh and blood, but the Lord is with us in the fight. He is our strength. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I pray that the Lord